Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, louder than words, rock, power, and politics. Featuring over 175 artifacts from Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Stevie Wonder, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, and more. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street in Chicago. Red or blue, we all bleed rock and roll. For info and tickets, visit museum.tv.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We love talking to Dan Plesac.
Have you reached a point yet with you, Darvish, where you've exhaled from a Cubs perspective and your thoughts for the most part on where the Cubs pitching staff has been halfway through this season?
It's not been as good as we have expected, but with that said, it is what is going to get them to the end of the rope and end of the line. They're going to win the Central. Dan, the Brewers, pound for pound, their lineup is as good, maybe a little bit better than the Cubs, but the Brewers put too much pressure on their bullpen. I get it. They want to get Josh Hader involved, but the bottom line is they have one pitcher in Zach Davies right now that they can really rely on. But when I watch the Cubs, it almost seems like at times, I don't know how to phrase this without it sounding stupid, but it almost seems like they get bored.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Dan Pompey. With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What an intro. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And that is quite an entrance. Olin Krutz in today for Mully. And we're pleased to welcome in Dan Pompey, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And here's the man behind the big intro. Hey, morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, guys. Good to be with you this morning.
Aloha.
Aloha is right. Yeah.
I hear you're in Maui,
something is
man.
Something's very wrong about this. Olin Krutz is asking me questions. He's in Chicago and I'm in Hawaii.
How
it's
very
complete
strange.
Role reversal.
Things have changed, right, Dan?
That's well, Dan, right, you could have right. been here a couple minutes ago. We had Norv Turner and Dave Wanstead surprise us, and that was a nice surprise and visit with Wani and Norv, and they were obviously talking a little bit about the kicker situation. But I wanted to ask you about the story you wrote recently in The Athletic on Akeem Hicks, because it was outstanding. I thought you captured everything about how far he has come, and people forget the odyssey that he has been on before he got to Chicago. He'll be one of Ryan Pace's best free agent signings ever. But it wasn't always that easy for him. It wasn't always that guaranteed that he would have success. What was your biggest takeaway in taking a deep dive on Akeem Hicks' story?
Well, I think what really stands out to me about his journey is perseverance. You know, he's a guy, you look at him and you see all this incredible ability and the size and the power and the ability just to manhandle guys who weigh 320 pounds, and you think, well, you know, yeah, he's got something that no one else has, and he does. But as you guys well know, it takes more than that to be at the top of the NFL game, which he's at right now. And he's overcome so much. You know, he's been from the time, really, you know, coming out of high school, he didn't have a scholarship offer. And then his kind of long, winding road started. He went to JC, then he went to LSU. He wasn't eligible there, ended up in Canada playing football in Canada. Then he goes to the Saints as a third-round pick and starts out okay there, but then kind of they don't use him in a way that plays his strengths, ends up in a conflict with the coaches about it, gets traded to New England, and he kind of revives his career a little bit, comes to Chicago, gets another chance, and just finally is in the right place for him, both in the way they use him and in the way that they accept him. And now he's a bona fide star and one of the best players in the league. So you know, he's a great example of, I think, somebody who has worked hard and done things the right way and has now ended up being rewarded for it.
Yeah, and when you take a look at him, Dan, and he's now in Chicago, and he is a ferocious D-tackle who's a brawler, who has a great personality, almost a larger-than-life personality. He is in the perfect city for him, and he seemed to really take to the city of Chicago and the way he fits in, and he's become a leader in that locker room. And when you watch him on the field, you can see that as good as Khalil Mack is, this guy is kind of the engine, and him and Eddie Goldman in the middle of that defense that set everybody up. But I'm interested to ask you about, we asked Brian Baldinger about this. I think what gives him his edge is he has become a student of the game. And you can tell by watching him that his film study gives him such a huge advantage in what he's trying to do to his opponents.
No question. You know, it's all a part of it. And I think one of the things that people really don't know a lot about is how Jay Rogers has impacted him. And he's been really, really good for him in terms of getting him to understand some of the subtle points of the game, his technique, you know, what opponents are trying to do to him, how to be consistent down in and down out. And Rogers has really been a stickler for the little things with Akeem, and they have a great relationship, and they have a lot of respect for one another, and what they've done really has paid dividends.
I'll ask both of you guys this question at the same time. Dan can answer first. But when you see a guy like that, I think it's been important for his success in Chicago. He's avoided injury for the most part. He's a big guy who's avoided injury. What's the secret to doing that? I mean, sometimes we take it for granted, but that's not as easy probably as it seems.
Olin, you want to hit that first?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Look, that's a guy who has learned how to prepare his body for the NFL season. And we used to like to say in the off season, that's when you put your armor on. That's when you hit the weight room, when you get your body ready. Because you look, when you're training hard in the off season, you're not training for week one. The NFL becomes a grind, especially in Chicago, when the weather turns about week 10, 11, and 12. And that's what you're training for. And you got a guy here who has learned how to be a professional. And look, as he's learned from Jay Rogers. He was in New Orleans where he didn't get along well with those guys. I know how that goes. But there's a lot of good professionals there, right? And then he was in New England. And there is the ultimate professional football team, and learned from his time there. So he's learned how to prepare his body. And Gary, some of it is luck, but 80% of it is preparation.
Well, and one of the things that was stressed to me in the number of people I spoke with for this story, including Ryan Pace and Jay Rogers, is that he really is an incredibly hard worker and a guy who hits the weight room really hard and kind of sets the pace with some of the other guys in there. Loves to squats two times a week on Mondays and Fridays, and, you know, will go heavy, and he feels like that's one of the big benefits to him in terms of what gives him his power and his ability to move people. So, you know, it doesn't happen by accident when you see somebody who's healthy and doesn't miss football games. It's something that obviously is worked at and planned for. And then the other thing is, you know, that he's got the ability to play hurt, because everyone gets hurt in the NFL. And he's able to brush off some of the injuries that maybe some players can't brush off as easily.
Joined by Dan Pompey and Mullion Haugh, with Olin Kruse sitting in for Mully for another moment or so. Dan, this week has been sort of Mitch Trubisky week in terms of the Vegas odds. And they've been over and under his touchdown totals, 26.5. His yardage total, 3,475, I believe. Also, there have been odds laid now as 50-1 that he can win the MVP. Are you surprised that there's that even much momentum or people that believe that are betting on the fact that he could be the MVP of the league?
Well, I think really what it speaks to is the passion of Bears fans more than the potential of Mitch Trubisky. You know, we don't know what Mitch Trubisky is going to be yet. I mean, he certainly showed great flashes last season, but I think, you know, for the most part, he was not a real consistent quarterback in terms of above average. He was kind of up and down a little bit. He had some great moments and some not so great moments. So, I wouldn't. There's a lot of people I would consider in the MVP conversation before I would start talking about him. I think it's a great leap of faith to say that he's going to be in the MVP conversation. However, he was in the Pro Bowl last year, and he does have the potential to take a big step forward this year. So I did find that very interesting that he was in that conversation, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, Dan, one thing that I wanted to ask you, and I hope it's not too vague, but I read your article on Doug Peterson and the Eagles, and I think that the Bears can learn a lot from the Eagles just because they've kind of structured their team like the Eagles with Doug Peterson and three quarterback coaches, and Schwartz is there and Pagano is here. And what do you think the Bears can learn from the Eagles comparison? And I seen that, you know, Peterson said, like, you can't let distractions take away from your preparation. And this year, the Bears have a lot of distractions with the Bears 100 and the success they had last year. So my question to you is, when you did that article, what comparisons did you see between the Eagles and the Bears, and what could the Bears take away from what happened to the Eagles last year?
I think, one of the things that really struck me about what the Eagles went through last season is that, they had a little bit of a hard time coming back off the Super Bowl and handling the success immediately. Early in the season, they struggled, right? But then they kind of found their footing at some point and came together. They had a lot of injuries early in the year, too, especially in their secondary. Their secondary was just decimated. And they went up to New Orleans, I want to say it was early November, and just got wiped out by Drew Brees. I think he put up 45 points on him. And that was kind of the turning point, though. They got things together after that and came back. And I think one of the things that Doug would like to do differently is, I think when things started to go wrong, he pulled back a little bit in terms of how he was pushing his team, how he was pushing some of the buttons with aggressiveness. Some of the things that he had done the year before, he backed away from. And I think now he wishes he had changed that and had done the things that he had done the year before more. So I think that Matt Nagy has to stick with his plan, really, and do the things that made the Bears successful last year. That's not to say he can't make some tweaks and improvements and changes and do some things a little bit differently. I'm going to be real interested to see how he looks at running the football this year, now that he's got a running back or running backs who he feels maybe fit his system better. And that was the other thing that when you talk about these two teams and the shared roots and all that, one of the interesting things to me is how Doug Peterson thinks Jordan Howard is a fit and Matt Nagy thinks he's not a fit. And I talked with Doug about that too. And he said he and Matt had a conversation about it at the NFL meetings prior to the trade. And Matt just told him that he felt like, he needed a different kind of back to run his system to its ultimate efficiency. And Doug feels like Jordan Howard is the perfect guy for his back, for his offense. And these are two guys who obviously have a very similar offense and come from the same tree, with Andy Reid being their mentor. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jordan Howard does in that system out there.
Dan, while you're in Maui, I hope you're selling some Chicago Bears Centennial scrapbooks, because we know everybody in Hawaii is a Bears fan because of Olin.
Well, I'll tell you what. I drove out to Hana yesterday, and when you get out there, this remote town, the middle of nowhere, and there's a big sign on the road: "This is Green Bay Packers country. Go Pack, go."
No kidding. I'll get my family to take care of that, Dan. We'll get that done.
Go down to Hana and straighten out those people.
Well, I got family in Hana. We'll take that down.
I don't doubt him, Dan, and I know you don't either.
Matter of fact, it'll probably be down by the time the show's over.
Hey, enjoy the rest of your trip. Really, thanks for checking in and good talking with you.
Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great vacation, man.
Dan Pompey joining us from on his vacation from Hawaii in your territory. So you know exactly where he's talking about. You know, you know where that sign is probably. You probably know who put it up.
I am on it. I am texting my brother now who lives in Maui. And we have family in Hana and we'll take care of that.
How much of your family still is back in Hawaii?
Pretty much everybody. And it, the interesting thing is obviously Kreutz is a German name and the Kreutz side is from Georgia. But everybody else is in Hawaii.
So. How often did it get mispronounced either when you went to Washington or when you came to Chicago before people knew that it wasn't, you know, Kreutz or...
it still gets mispronounced a lot, but you get used to it, but yeah, very often. But I remember John Shoup telling me that they gave him my name and I walked in the room and he was like, was this guy adopted or... How does this Hawaiian kid have a German last name? So it's you know, it's just that in Hawaii it's such a melting pot. There's so many nationalities there. People come from all over the place. So you get so many mixes and so much diversity.
Now, hold on. We had Wani in here. So that was the head coach when you were drafted. You told a Mike March story. We mentioned Ron Turner in the Super Bowl. You just mentioned John Shoup. This is like a trip down memory lane for you.
It is. It is. And especially having – because so Norv, like I said, when I went to Miami – when I met with the offensive coordinator when I was a free agent, it was Norv Turner. Mm-hmm. So Norv had just got the job, and he's sitting across the desk, and he looks at me and says, well, they tell me you're a good player. I hope we get you.
That's Olin Kreutz. He sat in did a terrific job for Mully today. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When we come back, transition with Bernstein and McKnight.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We'd be kidding ourselves if there isn't a huge Sox factor in how it hurts. That's a trade that we're going to analyze for a decade because it's what we knew about Quintana. It's about what the Cubs gave up for him. It's about how Cease and Eloy will perform going forward.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here.
Or here.
Or here! One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Saturdays at 8 a.m. Don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
I see more foot and ankle problems initially than I see any of those other categories. Foot fractures were the number one injury that was treated at Combine this year.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m. here on 670 The Score. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Joined by Coby White, the Bulls' first-round draft pick. Coby, first of all, I'd like to start with complimenting you on the eloquent essay that you wrote for the Players' Tribune on the loss of your father. Somebody your age, having dealt with the loss of a loved one at 17 years old a couple years ago, and the way that you've handled that and the way that you presented yourself in the Players' Tribune, it's really commendable. How much have you thought about your dad the past couple days? And will you continue the tribute of wearing the pink shoes in his honor with the Bulls?
I thought about it a lot. It's been an emotional time for me and my family. There's just been a lot going on, and we're just wishing that he was here. Like I've been telling people, I've been thinking about doing something with the shoes. I don't necessarily know if they're going to be pink, but I've definitely been thinking about doing something with the shoes to keep their memory going.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes at his new time. Weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Albert Almora Jr.
When you guys saw the outpouring, whether it was people like writing on the building, which I thought was crazy, with the chalk, or the parade itself, Like, what was going through your mind?
I didn't know what to expect. It was my first year, the first couple months, just like us. So that's what we were, I guess, used to, or not used to, but like we were brought into this, into the big leagues, and all we did right away was to win. So I think the next year was the big learning curve for, I think, myself and maybe for Willie too, when we lost, you know, and then we weren't the last team standing. So it's